Welcome to Pittsburgh Pop for this week. Tim Benz and Rob Owen, your weekly slice of pop culture here at Trib Live on the podcast page. Read Rob during the course of the week. TV talk, TV Q&A. Check me out Monday through Friday at Breakfast with Benz, where oftentimes we kind of bleed into pop culture when it comes from a sports point of view anyway, as was the case this week, Rob, when Le'Veon Bell made an appearance on, of all things, The Masked Singer. Is that right?
Yes, he was unmasked as the milkshake in a special episode that aired Sunday night. Masked Singer has been preempted a couple weeks in its regular Wednesday time slot because of Fox baseball postseason coverage and then the World Series. But they did air an episode Sunday night, and it was 90s night. I'm not sure what Le'Veon Bell has to do with that. But yes, he was unmasked as the milkshake, and he did a pretty good job of disguising himself because none of the judges guessed it was him.
Maybe he's not relevant anymore to be guessed. That might be part of the problem.
Well, you could be onto something there. So let's see. Ken Jeong guessed it was LL Cool J. Robin Thicke, I guess, got closest because thought it was a football player, DeSean Jackson. Jenny McCarthy thought it was DJ Jazzy Jeff. And Nicole Scherzinger thought it was T.I. But it was none of those. It was Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, Lev is going to love that. Lev is going to love being compared to any one of those guys, except for maybe DeSean Jackson, because he's running out of relevance as well. We sure Robin Thicke was thinking DeSean Jackson and not DeSean Watson, because that could be a whole nother.
I don't know.
Now, is he dressed up as a milkshake? Is that what you mean, as a milkshake? Okay.
Yes, a giant pink milkshake was his costume. And he said that he went on the show to let people know that he wasn't just all about the football field, that he had another lane he could perform in. And supposedly he has been putting out records prior to his Masked Singer turn.
Oh, yes. He's been putting out hip hop tracks for years now, and maybe this is why he needed the Masked Singers to get that jump started, because they haven't hit well enough and he had to resort to now boxing. Did he mention his boxing career at all by any chance? Because I know he won his first bout and then he got knocked out in his second bout.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think he did mention it briefly in passing, but he didn't get into it much.
Well, it's not the only local connection that we've got. Mayor Kingstown has an air date, and that's partially been, or is it entirely filmed here? Mainly filmed here, right?
Season two, unless they had to go to some other location for something specific they couldn't find in Western Pennsylvania, season two is entirely filmed in Pittsburgh. And yes, it has a premiere date. Some of the local production folks had thought it was going to come on in November or December. That seemed optimistic to me, since they were only scheduled to finish filming on November 3rd last week. And then once Paramount Plus announced that 1923, the latest Yellowstone prequel, was coming in December, I sort of figured, well, Mayor of Kingstown is not going to come this calendar year, but it is early 2023 with a January 15th premiere on Paramount Plus.
All right. Well, there you go. I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out. What about Dear Zoe? Have there been some reviews on that?
Yeah, the reviews have been coming in. Dear Zoe was shot in Pittsburgh in the fall of 2019. It had its Pittsburgh premiere last Wednesday. It had previously shown at some film festivals, so we can't really call it a world premiere. But its Pittsburgh premiere was last Wednesday, and star Sadie Sink was in town for that, along with some of the other cast members. Yeah, and the reviews have been kind of what I expected, sort of middling. You know, Sadie Sink got a lot of praise. She's a terrific little actress. I mean, I think she really was a fantastic addition to Stranger Things, and this past season really proved her mettle on that show. But, you know, it's also, Dear Zoe is a little bit of a predictable film. But for people who like stuff with Pittsburgh, it is Pittsburgh through and through. Even a couple of instances of Pittsburghese in it. So it is showing for a limited time in Pittsburgh theaters. I'm not sure it's going to be there for a whole long time. But more importantly, from my perspective, it is available at home on video on demand via cable, satellite, or streaming services, Google Play, Apple TV Plus, Amazon, all those things.
I'm real interested to hear what you think about the Weird Al story on Roku. First of all, I got to ask you, have you ever seen Weird Al Yankovic in person? Have you ever seen a Weird Al Yankovic concert?
I haven't, but I heard he does a fantastic show.
See, I heard his show is really different now. It's not necessarily what it was when I saw it. I remember, Rob, you could appreciate this. It was my first year back from Syracuse, first summer after freshman year.
Right.
And a bunch of us, when we got back together in Connecticut, we went into New Haven and went to Toad's Place in New Haven and saw Weird Al Yankovic perform. And this was, the summer of 1993. So, you know, Fat had been out there, that album. I'm trying to think what I think he had a Nirvana cover song that was a hit at the time, some sort of Nirvana cover song. But, you know, he would have like Dancing Potatoes and, you know, there were backup dancers and characters that sort of acted like the videos because Weird Al, for everything that we know about him for his lyrics, like the mock lyrics of songs, the videos are what sold it. So in person, you know, he had to put on a live show that held the audience the same way that the MTV videos did. And it made sense and it was entertaining and you went and you laughed and maybe you were in an altered state of mind at the time as I was, even though I was underage, but hey, what other way are you going to see Weird Al Yankovic? But now I understand he kind of just does like straightforward songs and almost it's like a Q&A kind of thing almost, or, you know, interactive, almost storytelling kind of thing that because some of the songs are now deemed politically incorrect, you know, like he doesn't feel comfortable performing all of them or whatever the case may be. But it's certainly a lot of it's dated. Some of the humor is certainly dated. There's a lot of like 80s and 90s references in the lyrics that I'm sure people couldn't get at all now if they were listening for the first time. So I guess he's kind of had to evolve into a different sort of in-person act.
Yeah. Like I say, I haven't seen it. I interviewed Rainn Wilson recently, who plays Dr. Demento in Weird. And he was just talking up what a great live show he does with costume changes and running all around. And I guess one of the things that he's shown at his live shows for years is this 3-minute, 2.5-minute Funny or Die parody of a trailer for a Weird Al biopic, which was basically the impetus for this weird movie. Have you by chance seen that?
That sounds really familiar. Yeah. That sounds familiar.
So basically, Weird is just that 2-minute clip blown up into a 90-minute movie.
Rainn Wilson sounds like a great casting choice, by the way.
Yeah, well, in the original, it was Patton Oswalt as Dr. Demento. He wasn't available for this, although he is in this, but in a much smaller role. But Weird, Daniel Radcliffe plays Al Yankovic. And, you know, it starts off seeming like it could almost be a heightened version of what really happened with Al in his childhood. But then it just goes completely over the top and he's sleeping with Madonna and attempting to murder Pablo Escobar, who's a Weird Al fan. And it just gets a little nuts. You know, I think if you are a Weird Al fan who has been yearning for a Weird Al film since 1989 when UHF came out, then this is probably for you. If you are more of a passing fan, I think just watching the Funny or Die short is sufficient. They even grab a couple of the best lines from that Funny or Die short and use them in Weird. And that short trailer basically, you know, sets up what the plot of Weird is going to be. Madonna's in it, and I don't know if Pablo Escobar, but Madonna's definitely in the short. So I think if you're a Weird Al fan, it is worth tuning in for. If you're not, I think the Funny or Die clip suffices.
When's the last time he produced an album? Do you know?
I do not know. I assume he's just been doing them all along, and I just wasn't paying attention and didn't notice. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's sort of a genre that was always going to have a tough time sustaining with the advent of the internet and everybody is doing spoofs and everybody can be their own sarcastic machine online. You know what I mean? Like everybody can come up with the same gags, and it's not a niche industry for Weird Al like it was back in the day.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. But I also think that there's enough love and appreciation for what he started back in the 80s that he can ride those coattails into the sunset.
One more, since we're kind of on an 80s, 90s topic here. How about Blockbuster on Netflix?
Yeah, so Blockbuster is a comedy series on Netflix that stars Randall Park from Fresh Off the Boat. And it is the story of the motley crew that works at the last Blockbuster in America. Not the real one, because there is a real last Blockbuster in Bend, Oregon. This one is in Michigan somewhere. It's been fictionalized. And, you know, I really wanted to like this, and it's just not that funny. It desperately wants to be Superstore, the NBC comedy that also sometimes had a hard time being funny. But this one is even less so, less funny. It's basically a workplace comedy. They become the last Blockbuster. He has to figure out all the things that corporate used to do that now corporate's not doing for him anymore. And, you know, there are sundry characters that work at the video store. Too many. I mean, maybe that's why they're the last Blockbuster, because they have too many people working at the video store. But yeah, I was fairly disappointed in it. I had some hopes for it, and I just think it's not very good.
All right, Rob, what else do we have coming up for TV Talk and TV Q&A this week?
Let's see. We have all sorts of things coming up. TV Talk. Let's see. We've got, you know what? I haven't completely finalized on that, because I want to review Tulsa King, but they haven't got me a screener yet. So we'll see. TV Q&A, though, actually is kind of a deep dive into the status of media companies and what they're doing. Somebody asks about, do media companies prioritize streaming services over broadcast networks today? And the answer is definitely yes, but it is more complicated and nuanced than simply a yes. So I get into that this week in Q&A.
Did we ever find out what was going on with the KDKA anchors and or reporters that you teased last week? Were they found? Were they missing? Were there some?
Oh, no, they were just hired. They were not.
Okay.
They were simply hired.
This is because usually when we go down that rabbit hole, it's whatever happened to so-and-so and they were on vacation for a week.
No. Those two were simply new hires at KDKA. There was a question about why so many ads for a new anchor at TAE, but that sort of answered itself. Of course, there's going to be a lot of ads for a new anchor. They're trying to promote their bright, shiny new thing. So that's what they're going to do.
Yes, and good luck to them on that front. Okay, Rob, thank you very much. We will check in throughout the course of the week. I also encourage people to read Breakfast with Benz. We have it's a little bit of a slower week to start because the Steelers didn't play. We're on a bye week, of course. But watch the Monday Night Football game tonight. Ravens, the Steelers will still see twice between now and the end of the season, and the Saints, who they will see next week. We'll certainly mention that tomorrow on Tuesday's Breakfast with Benz.